Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I hope you guys are having a great morning. I am. I think most of you already know that we have a group of people that that pray. It's a prayer chain, right? And it's something that, you know, we contact during, you know, when people give requests for prayer. And there's about 16 of us that get together and pray. And we put them out over the phone. And so I just wanted to kind of mention that this morning. On that prayer chain, if you send me or tell me or Pastor Henry that you want the prayer chain people to pray for you, we can either keep it to where it's just the pastors and doesn't go beyond, or if you say, please put this out to the prayer chain, which is about, like I say, 16 of us, just remember that there is a connection there that this body can pray for each other. And so, reason I even mentioned this today, because a little bit before I came up here, I was asked to make an announcement. And I think a lot of you know Zelinda. And she just informed me that her mom passed away Friday. And so she just asked if we would hold up her family and her. And even though I mentioned this prayer group that has committed themselves to pray for this body, but they're not the only ones that should be praying, right? That's all of you. So not only for Zelinda today, her family, but for all others that sometimes need your attention. You know, they may come straight to you. You know, I think Terry has a group that meets every month. At those times, somebody might go to that group and ask for prayer. This church is a prayer church, okay? And so pray for each other. You don't need to be a pastor to pray for someone. You just need to be the hands of God, right? And so when somebody comes to you, don't shy away. There are things within you that He wants to express. If you never laid hands on somebody to pray for them, do it. What an experience to see God working through you, to see that Holy Spirit moving through you. So never say no to somebody that asks for prayer, even if it's out on the street or in a hospital. There's a lot of people you can pray for there, but you know, just wherever you are, somebody asks, then pray for them, okay? But know that this church does that. So Zelinda is there. Just accompany her in her time. So what I want to do now before we pray is I want to read out of Psalm 139. And it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is of light to you. So He's with us always. There's nowhere you can go. Why would you even want to go anywhere other than to be in His presence? So even when sometimes we're going through a dark time, we have a loss, just something that's going on in our lives, just know, maybe those people that you thought loved you maybe may not be there for you. Sometimes people let us down, right? But he won't. He'll never let you down. He is there for you. He will walk through you. And that's even when you're in those dark places, that's where you will find him. So please stand with me as we pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that your word says that you never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, your word is true. So I thank you, Lord, that regardless of where we find ourselves this day, Lord, that there is joy, Lord. Your word says to rejoice. May we find that place, Lord, that we can rejoice regardless of the place that we find ourselves. That we would always have joy knowing that you're there, Lord. If we would just turn our eyes towards you, Lord, we will find you. We will find you. So I ask that for this day, Lord, that your spirit would come upon each one of us this day as the worship comes before us, Lord, as the word comes before us, as each one of us has the opportunity to just reach out to someone standing next to you. And just put your hand on their shoulder, or just give them a hug, or just in any way that is who you are, lift others up. Lift them up, love them, and let the love of God shine through each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you're here this day, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This comes out of Deuteronomy 6. You've heard this before. I'm going to read it to you again. It's an encouragement for us to remember the ordinances and the goodness of God in our lives on a daily basis. This says, you've heard these words before. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit down to eat, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Wow. Every moment of the day, every step that we take, our God wants us to remember. Amen? This is good stuff. You can keep reading on that. It goes on and on. Put it on your gates. Put it on the steps as you walk up to the front door. Let us hear your voice.
Ben wrote a song this morning. He wants to sing for everybody.
All right.
God saves us. He's stronger than anything. That's part of the song, though. Okay?
Okay.
Wait. I forgot one part for a little. Wait. Right. It was this part. Oh, wait, no, I forgot again. At least I made everybody laugh.
Yeah, you did.
No.
Okay, well done.
And no.
Maybe we'll write it down next time.
Oh, right.
Oh, done.
God is stronger than any superhero. Now, what's next? Oh, right. And God is with the Lord. And God is in heaven in our hearts, and the Lord is with him.
Good job.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay. times when we feel like we're looking and we feel like we're all alone and this stuff has really hit the fan and you just don't know what to do or where to turn and we just have to be still and know. And when we quiet ourselves, when we get rid of the distractions, when we take the time to listen, he's there. When we cry out to him,
come on.
When we are doing what's right in our own minds, when it's all about us, we need to just stop and we need to cry out to him. And he is there. He will not leave us or forsake us.
Yeah, come on. Thank
and
you.
He will show us the way. He's always been there. He's always been there. When we are at our lowest and we cry out to him, no matter what it is, when you're lost, when you're scared, when you're hurt, when you're alone, when you're grieving, and you don't know where else to turn, and you reach out to him, he is there.
Yes.
And when you're mad, when you think he's not there, and he's been there all along, that's such a comfort. That is such a peace that passes all understanding. The Holy Spirit, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, come on.
He sends us his helper. And he is with us all the time. Even if we're so busy, we're trying to run away. He is there all along. Helping us, guiding us, praying for us when we don't even know what to pray. When it hurts so bad, he is there. And we get ourselves out of the way and we can see what he's already doing in our lives. He's already done it. Jesus finished this on the cross. It is finished. He has done it. We don't have to do it. It's not us. It is not us. It is Christ through us.
Yeah. Come on. Yes. Yeah, come on.
So, Holy Spirit, because I received the word and I just held back. And then Pastor says, someone's got a word.
Come on, man. Come on.
And the Holy Spirit told me to say it. So I'm going to be obedient. Okay, so this is what the Lord says. And this is in Romans 8. So it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, not powers, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God,
come on.
Which
Hallelujah.
Is in Christ our Lord.
Come on, sister. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're doing in our lives, he loves us. He loves us. He died for us. And he is so worthy of our love.
Yes. Praise
Amen.
God. Come on. Thank you, sister. You can take that. We got one there.
So I just want to take a second to share how grateful I am.
Thank you, Lauren.
We were struggling with a vehicle problem, and I personally can say that it's not only physical things that we carry that are not ours, that we've already been healed, and but our car just gave up one day and just said, I'm not moving.
Come on,
there was no way to tow it. Luckily, we were able to get some help to get it to our house. I called the dealership, and they said, well, your warranty's up. There's nothing we can do. And I just felt defeated. Earlier, oh boy. Earlier in the week, I had received phone calls from the cancer center, Banner Cancer Center, reminded me of my appointments, just to check and see that nothing's there, right? But I just had, I was stuck in, I don't need to go because I'm already healed. I don't need to go, I don't need to follow through with these appointments, so I would just ignore the call. And they'd call me and call me and call me, and sure enough, it made sense that, you know, I didn't fall for it. And I just called them and I said, you know what? I believe I'm healed, so I'm not going to go to these appointments. So you can go ahead and cancel all 6 months out that you have.
Oh,
I'm not going. I'm healed. And then, you know, later on in the week, we were faced with this issue with the car. And I just felt defeated. I was confident that God was going to take care of it inside, but I wasn't projecting that. I wasn't showing it to with my husband, with our children. I was just, you know, we depend on vehicles. We need vehicles. It's our only vehicle. So, you know, we came to church. My father let us borrow his vehicle to come to church because I was like, well, we're not going to church. We came to church and Henry was like, we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying because you need a vehicle. So then I get in contact with a friend and she says her husband used to work for dealerships. And she says, you need to call this number and you need to tell them that this happened. They need to pick up the vehicle and it's going to be covered. It's under a warranty that I guess the dealership didn't want to tell me about. So then, super long story short, they ended up coming to get the vehicle. They fixed it. And then yesterday, this lady called me and, you know, she was just like, I just wanted to double check how everything went with Ford and when they picked up the vehicle and if you're satisfied and so on and so forth. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not, because it's a brand new vehicle. We bought it new. We shouldn't be having these issues. I had to pay $100 that I don't have right now, but God provided it. And, you know, we're struggling, but I have my car, so I'm grateful to God. And so when I told her that, she said, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to extend your warranty. I'm going to give you a warranty for another 3 years.
Come on.
And if anything happens to your vehicle, it's going to be covered. You don't need to pay anything. I'm going to call the dealership. I'm going to get your $100 back. And if you have any other issues, you go ahead and give me a call.
Ooh,
so
come on.
That
praise
was God.
God.
Glory to God.
Hey, yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Mia. Yeah. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for all that you do, Lord. Lord, you are a miracle worker. You are a way maker, Lord. We thank you for that this morning, Lord. We thank you that you've already made the way for us, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five around you. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't leave your seat. Yeah, come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is who you are. Hallelujah. How many know that we serve a great God? Oh, man. Hallelujah. How many know he's perfect in every way? Can you say amen to that? How many know that his ways are past finding out? Can you say amen to that? Yeah. I'm sure he'd like to let us in on a lot of stuff. Amen? I think he'd want us to know. But I wonder if it's too much for us. Hey, God, how did you put all these planets around to go around the sun, God? How'd you do that? Well, it's a matter of rat. I go, hey, too much for me. Amen? Woo. Way past finding out. We serve a great God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. How many of you know that he is worthy of all our praise, all the glory that we can, anything that happens to us, man, we can give him glory in all situations. Have you learned that? Have you learned to do that? Come on, hallelujah. He'll get you out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He'll help you. Glory to God. Oh man, hallelujah. Well, today I want to talk about new thinking. How's that? How many know we need to think new?
Yep.
How many like thinking new?
Yep.
How many of you got an old car you want to think new?
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, man. That's the time to think new on this car. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Cindy, time to think. Where are you? New thinking on that car. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I would say that woman got chewed out by somebody. The Lord. Yeah. Something happened, man, where she said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you everything you need. Can you say amen to that? A change of heart. How many know that God is good at changing hearts? He's good at situations where you don't even know it, that he's working. Can you say amen to that? And he's in the background, and we're throwing our little fit, and he's in the background working it out for your good. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you know that God is always, he's for you, and he's not against you? How many of you know that?
Amen.
God is for you, folks. Look at your neighbor and say, God is for you. Not against you. God knows about it. He's not against you. He's for you. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. He's a good God. Hallelujah. I have found that he is faithful. to his word. He's faithful to what he says. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He doesn't change, folks. We are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken with a king that never changes. It's an unshakable kingdom and an unchanging person. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. That's why you can. That's why you can trust him. If he wasn't faithful to his word, how would that be? Man, where could you stand? But you can stand because he's faithful in what he's told us. He's not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
Neither is he a son of man that he should repent of the things that he's told us. Come on, folks. We've told people stuff and we had to repent. Oh, man, you know, I know I said I'd go, man. But, you know, hey, I just didn't want to go. Whatever. God's not like that. What he says, he never has to repent on it. Can you say amen to that? Oh, man. Glory to God. So this new thinking, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into some new thinking. Hallelujah. So if you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 13. Hallelujah. Very familiar verses here. And sometimes when I'm looking for, when I'm asking the Lord to give me a word for Sunday morning, and sometimes I'll look at something and I'll pass by it, and then I'll pass by it again, and then something happens within me, and I said, oh, right here. I would generally say sometimes, oh, well, we've heard that. How many know that the word of God is alive? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can be new every time you read it. Jesus wept can be in millions of different ways if we just have a hunger to hear what God is saying. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. It's alive. It's the word of God. It's Christ himself. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's, I mean, see, this just ain't some book that we go by. It's a living word. I would have it no other way. I don't know about you, but I'm glad it's alive because it speaks to me in my time of need. When I need something, he speaks to me out of this book. Out of my prayer closet. And most of the time when he speaks to me in my prayer closet, it's coming out of the book. How many say amen?
Amen.
I'm surprised. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not a stickler on translations, if you will. Is that okay with you guys? Yeah, a couple of you. Yeah, so, yeah. I'm not a stickler on translations. I love the Word of God.
Amen.
I believe God can speak out of any translation. I believe it's not the translation that we're looking at. It's the translator that we listen to.
Amen.
God translates what we're hearing, what we're looking at. The TPT. Man, you know what, folks? People can say all sorts of different things about the different kind of writings that we have, but yet we still have to listen to the Holy Ghost. No matter what translation, if it doesn't sound right in that translation, go look at it somewhere else. Go find another translation. Use the King James. I told you. I say, no, I love the King James. I will tell you I love the King James. I really do. Sometimes when I'm reading some of the other translations, it's like having eggs without any salt and pepper on it. How's that? How many like your eggs with salt and pepper? Dash them up a little bit. Yeah, well, I mean, that's what the other translations are like. Yeah, and I went through a time where the Amplified was all I read. That can be exhausting. That's what they call an exhaustive concordance of the Word of God. But I would tell you, folks, find the Word and go to it daily, daily, daily. Open the Word of God. Can you say amen? Look at it. Say, God, what are you doing here? Let me see it. Picture the stories. As you read them slow. Can you say amen? Don't just skim through it. Speed readers. How many speed readers do we have here? I know that is a real thing, speed reading. And my wife's a speed reader. And she skimmed through it, and I asked her, did you get that? She goes, yeah. I said, okay. And then she'll talk to me about it. And I say, yeah, okay, you did get it, didn't you? Yeah, because I like to read it slow. I like to, is it milking the word? What they, I like to get it, just let it come in, let it read it slow. Take my time with it. But find a translation that you love and go to the Lord and let him interpret that book to you. Can you say amen to that? We're going to talk about this new thinking today. And here in Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, Elias, or others. Jeremiah's or one of the prophets. And verse 15 says, but who do you say that I am? And can I say, this is a very important question. Who do you say God is? Who do you say Jesus is in your life? Who is he? What is he?
Son of God.
Is he the way maker? Yeah. Light in the darkness, is he? Yes, he is. Come on. That is who you are. Is that right? So kind of maybe Peter should have broke out the Waymaker. Yeah, right? Yeah, light in the darkness. That is who you are. No, but Peter answers and he says this. He goes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I just want to talk to you about who is he? Who is this Son of the living God? Isaiah chapter 9:6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Amen?
Amen.
The government shall be upon whose shoulder?
His
shoulder. And his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Is he wonderful to you?
Yes.
Is he a counselor to you?
Yes.
Or do you got to find a counselor sometimes when you're having trouble? You got to go find a lawyer, got to go find a counselor, got to find somebody, got to find another Christian to counsel me. No, man, see, he's already all that. His name is Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. Amen?
Amen.
And he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Don't get me going on this one, man. Because I will tell you, man, that's who he is in your life. A son is given. Given to who? To us. To you. Every one of us. His name is called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is this? Who is this guy? The Bible says in Isaiah 44, verse 24, look at this. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreads abroad the earth by myself. Who did it all? He did. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They all did it together. It's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And he calls himself our Redeemer. How many have a Redeemer this morning? I have a Redeemer. He's great and mighty. He's a mighty Redeemer. He has redeemed me by his blood. Can you say amen to that? Huh. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, he that formed you. We were talking yesterday about my nephew-in-law. Is that right, baby? That he's got a big nose. Oh, she went in it. That he's got a big nose. And his father-in-law was telling him, man, you got a big nose, man. Your nose gets through the doorway before you do. And I'm looking at the kid, and my nose is bigger than his. So I'm wondering how long it takes me to get into a building behind my nose. He formed us. Amen? He made us just the way you are. In your eyes, you might not think you're so great, but in his eyes, you're perfect. Can you say amen to that? He loves you. That's my design right there. He looks at you. He says, that's my design. We cannot criticize anybody. Can you say amen to that? Because God says, I love them, so I sent my son and redeemed them. The problem with a lot of people right now is they don't know that they're redeemed. There's a lot of people out there that don't have any light. Is that right? And why don't they have any light? Ooh, because the church ain't doing their job. Is that right? No. Come on. Oh, boy. Hey, you are the light of the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You are the light. Because it's him that dwells in you who is the light. You are a, if you will, a beacon in a dark world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's who you are. He created you and he formed you just the way you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's your redeemer. Why did we need to be redeemed? Romans 7:14 says this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. This is you before you knew the Lord. You were sold and you were under sin. And you needed somebody to help you. Amen? Mankind, man, cannot help you except for one man. His name was Jesus. Can you say amen to that? See, folks, sin destroys. Sin weakens. Sin. The wages of sin is death. Can you say amen? How many say amen to that?
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. But see, you need a savior. And when you need a redeemer. And when he came into your life, he redeemed you. Now it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
It's a gift. He gives it to you. Eternal life. Can you say amen to that? How long is eternal life? Somebody tell me. How long forever. Is eternal life? Tell me how long it is. I don't want to hear forever. I just want to know how long it is. How long is eternal life?
Eternal.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. See, there's some things we just don't know. Is that right? Who knows? Hey, God knows. Yeah, God knows.
God knows.
Yes, he does. Woo. We needed a redeemer, and he redeemed us. Can you say amen to that? Isaiah 44, verse 22. Look at this. These are beautiful scriptures. I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions. Can you amen? Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
And as a cloud, your sins return to me, for I have redeemed you. Jesus has said, I mean, the Lord God Almighty has said, I redeemed you. Everybody say, I'm redeemed. Everybody say it. I've been redeemed. I am redeemed. I belong to Christ. I belong to God. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I mean, I aren't you glad that I don't call you up here and tell me all your, hey, tell me about your sins. So we can help others. I remember a friend of mine was at the mine and told me, he says, Henry, do you remember when you used to do this? You used to do this. He was calling out my sins in front of a bunch of people. Do you remember you used to do this? You used to do this and this and this. And he kept going and this and I used to do this. And I'm standing there. I'm a new child in Christ. All I know is my temperature is starting to rise. How many of you guys know what I mean? I'm starting to get a little upset. And I said, Lord, give me a scripture. I need something to cut him in half. I wanted to call fire down from heaven on that guy. Can you say amen to that? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it happens, sometimes. But my emotions and my feelings were not under control. It's a good thing my mouth was a little bit under control because I didn't say anything. But then I heard God speak to me. And he says, the wrath of God works not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. I didn't want to hear that. He's talking to me about my anger. Not about my friend that needed help. But he's talking to me. You see, I had a redeemer at that time. At that moment, I realized I got to keep my mouth shut. I cannot say what I like to say. Walked away. About a week, few days later, that guy was walking up with me and he goes, you know what, Henry? He goes, I got to tell you something. I apologize for saying that to you. I said, that's okay, man. It's all right. And he goes, no, you know what bothered me? I said, what's that? And he goes, you didn't say anything. You didn't fight back. I expected you to fight back. I said, Mondo, I really wanted to. But he would not let me. You see, hey, I have a redeemer. And now things have changed. Can you say amen to that? Can I say your life should be different because of who it is that dwells in you? Your life should be different. It shouldn't be anything like it was before you gave your heart to the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Says that, and he says, I blotted out your transgressions and your sins. Return to me, for I've redeemed you. See, sometimes when we're brand new Christians, we don't get it. We don't understand all the things that he had because we don't have enough of this stuff. Can I tell you, the word of God will resurrect you. Because I'm getting ahead of myself, but I will say this to you. This thing, by reading it, by going to it, finding out, God begins to open things up to you and begin to understand the things that are going on around you. That's pretty cool. So here it is. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I love this scripture, man. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. God didn't use gold and silver. Silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Do you see all the words in here? See, you got something from mom and dad. Well, my daddy was Irish, so I've got his anger problem or whatever it is. All those things that we say, you know, that we kind of, well, you know, make an excuse for. Can you say amen? We make an excuse for some of the things that we do that we know we shouldn't be doing. So you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, amen, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, Jesus died for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many, can you say that his blood washed away your sins? How many know that? Every one of them. I don't care if you got one that's going to happen 2 weeks from now. He paid for that one already because he knows the end from the beginning. He's the first and the last. So when he died for your sins, he knew you. He knew your life, how long you'd live. He knows it. And so he went ahead and said, yeah, I love him and I'm going to pay for it. And he paid for you. No man comes to the Father but by Christ. How many of you know that?
Amen.
And no man comes to Jesus except the Father draws him by his Spirit. Can you see the teamwork in it? Can you see how God works? He pulls you in by his Spirit. Then he gets to washing you, making you clean. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, it's not one thing just to give your heart to the Lord. It's something, you become a new creation, a new creature. How many say amen to that? And so you begin to walk in that. You need to walk in that. It's not just like a lot of people call it fire insurance. Well, I gave my heart to the Lord. Well, what are you doing today? Well, I steal. You know, an old Henry candy bar once in a while, I can steal it. Is that right, John? Yeah.
No.
No. John goes, yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. He paid for all of your sins. To me, that's incredible. That is love, folks. Because he loved you, he paid for you. Let's go on. Matthew 16, 17 through 20. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
See, it's Revelation. Ask and I will give And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on her, you shall loose on her, shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I love this portion here because it describes to us what the Father will do to his children. He will reveal his word. Can you say amen? Jesus was a word made flesh. Is that right? Yeah. He walked among us, and he calls himself in the beginning when he asks the disciple, who do you say that I am? He says, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? He says that word. That word was used, Son of Man was used, I mean, a whole bunch. I didn't count them. But if you go in the book of Ezekiel, it's funny that the Spirit of God speaks to Ezekiel and says, Son of Man, do this. 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 Because he's talking to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet. Right. So this Spirit of God that was upon Ezekiel, the Spirit of God was calling Ezekiel Son of Man. He was making a point about Christ and who he is. Yeah, he's got a divine birth. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
A virgin shall conceive. His father was God the Father.
Yeah. Amen.
And he's called the Son of Man because Mary had the baby. Is that right?
Yep.
Who's his mommy?
Mary.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you guys all right?
Amen.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, okay. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time with the sermon, but maybe, I don't know, but I thought I better ask you. Yeah, I heard a very faint,
Mary.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, all right. But he says, but he goes, and he says this, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. God reveals his word. There is only one revealer of the word, and it's the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
There was a book in heaven, and there was a cry going out, said, who will open the seal of it? Nobody knew. Nobody in heaven. And John, the Revelator, John was standing there, and he began to weep. Because there was nobody that could go up and open the seal of this book to open it up. But then the angel tells him, don't cry. Don't weep. Don't weep, you weeper. Don't weep, he says. The Lamb of God has prevailed to open the book. You see, Jesus is the only one that can reveal things to you. Can you say amen to that? I can talk to you all day long. I can speak things to you all day long that I know about the Word of God because we're only designed to speak what we know. Do you know that? What you go through, those are the things you know. Is that right?
Yep.
It's nice to know about a missile, but what God wants to teach you concerning spiritual things, he's going to take you through. You're going to see it in the Word. He's going to reveal it to you, and boom, you got it for the rest of your life. Can you say amen to that? Is that okay? That's the way he works. He reveals himself by himself. Can you say amen to that? Folks, this is why you don't have to go to seminary. This is why seminaries might not even do you any good. Because you're trying to learn from men, and all that time God is saying, just come to me. I'll show it to you. It'll save you a lot of money. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I'll save you a lot of money because I will open these things to you. It's your heart, folks. It's your heart. It's your heart. It's your heart. How much do you want to know what he's saying to you? Let him speak it to you. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jesus answered, he says, blessed art thou because not my, he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I remember I was taking the Berean Bible course. I mean, anybody heard of the Berean Bibles? It's something the assemblies do a lot. And I was under my pastor, and he said, you know, Henry, if you want to be a youth pastor, they're going to make you take a test, so you need to go through the Berean studies. I said, okay. So I kind of liked some of them, but then I got to this one book in the Berean studies, and it's called Church History. And it's not the Church of Christ, it's Lutheran and all these other, all the natural church history. And I'm reading this book. I've gotten out of a book about that thick, I've gotten about this far in it. And every morning I'm opening it up, trying to read something because I'm going to take a test afterward, and I'm opening it. And falls. I must have fallen asleep. I don't know how many times, bunch of times. Opening the book, fall asleep. Open the book and I go, man, I read this page, but I why am I so tired? This is early in the morning because I would read early in the morning before I went to work. But this book was different. It put me out like that. Boom. It took me a while, but I think I know that it was the Holy Spirit doing it to me. Because finally I go, Lord, I am so tired of this book. I'm not getting anywhere with it. I said, I'm just going to get your word. And I put it aside and I pulled my Bible over and opened it up. And the Holy Spirit said, I never told you to do that. Ooh. I go, what? When I looked down at my Bible, it just happened to be in 1 John chapter, I think it was 2. And it said, for the unction that you have received, it dwells in you. And you need that no man teach you. But that same unction will teach you and lead you and guide you. And Matt, I exploded. Yeah, come on. No more church history book. Come on, Matt. I loved it. Because the Holy Spirit was teaching me something. You don't need all that, what do they call that? Seminary. You don't need all that, folks. Can I tell you? Let me tell you. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, there's a lot of people that go there, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I will tell you, the Holy Ghost is the only way. He's the way that will teach. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. That's what he's sent to us for. Can you say amen to that? You don't have to be, you don't have to have a high degree of I don't know what's called, of knowledge. And I mean, all God wants is a heart that says, look, I love you, God, and I want to know what you got to say for me. And you watch what he does. He will cause you to be smarter than all your teachers. That's what it says in the Psalms. Wiser than all those, because you take the word of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. So he wants to reveal these things to you if it's okay with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says this, as it is written, eye is not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many of you love God?
Woo!
Yeah. How many of you are asleep? Did I put you to sleep?
No.
Yeah, okay. And then it says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. You see that? All the things that he has for you, he reveals them to you by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yay. I like that. Yeah. Come on, say it. Everybody say, yeah. Yeah. What is that? Say it with some, yeah. Come on. Yeah, he teaches you all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. You want to know the deep things of God? Hold hands with the Holy Ghost. Can you, amen? Come and say, God, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Show me, God. I will. Oh, God. Whatever you say, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, he'll show you some deep stuff. He'll show you good stuff. Woo.
Oh.
This is Paul's testimony about, you know, how many of you know that the Apostle Paul was a trigger happy guy. Is that right? Before he got saved, man, he wanted people like us to go to jail. Is that okay? Hey, y'all got to go to jail because you don't know enough about God. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, man, you can't. He thought he was the best. He was taught by, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he was taught by some of the best Pharisees that they had in his day, and he was taught by them. So he was a pretty proud Pharisee, and he's going around to arrest us, and I say us because those were my brothers and sisters back then. They were arresting him and putting him in jail, possibly even killing some. But this is what Paul said after he got saved. He, on his way to Damascus, falls off of his donkey. Well, I don't think he fell off. I think he was knocked off. I think God said, man, I'm going to make a point with you, boy, because you have the word. See, Paul had all his life studied the word of God. And now God is getting ready to show him what all those studies were about.
Yeah.
My son was, I don't remember names too good. Stella, what's his name? I can't remember either. I don't remember names to go by. My son was showing me this young man. There was a guy on. I mean, anybody heard of Joe Rogan? And he's got this major big podcast that goes out, and he had a guy that was cutting down Christianity. So Joe Rogan said, "I'm gonna give you equal time." So the guy that was cutting it down calls it, Joe Rogan gets a hold of this one guy. I don't know the names. They get in there, and this guy who was supposedly knew everything about how bad Christianity was, this young man tore him up. Praise God, amen. Just ripped him apart. And that young man on his way out, Joe Rogan was talking about, and on his way out, he told Joe, he goes, "Now I know what all my studying, because God would have me study and study and study. Now I know why." It was because that was coming up in his life. Isn't that cool?
Yep.
God had prepared him. And this is not a small podcast. It's a big podcast. Millions of people listen to it. And this guy gone, I need to get the names for you because I don't know. But here's Paul's testimony in, I guess it will be Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Listen to this. This guy was a smart guy. And then he says this, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it." You see that? He didn't get it from men. Where'd he get it from?
God.
"Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, there's something about Jesus that reveals the things of God. Is that right? Why? Because Jesus is the Word. He's the Word of God. The Word was made flesh. The Word became reality, if you will. "I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion." Now it's the Jews' religion, is that right? Yeah, come on, man. "In the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God," "but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
This is a good, I love it. "To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." What he said is that he did not receive what he received from man. He got it from Jesus. Can you say amen to that? It was revealed to him about who Christ is, about the Lamb of God, about the tabernacle, all of those things. He received revelation. Can you say amen? So and studying your word, studying the word of God is so beneficial to you because God will speak to your heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, boy. God's will for Jesus. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 26. Look at this. He says, "From that time forth, began Jesus to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again from the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee.' But he turned and said to Peter," I get this? This is the guy that's been his Peter, the rock. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus to the disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Can you say amen? Glory to God. What Peter's exhibiting here is something that, see, Peter has not been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost hasn't been sent from heaven. He's with Jesus, and Jesus is telling him these things. And then Jesus tells him, you're a rock, Peter. And then he tells him about what he's going to do when he goes to Jerusalem, what's going to happen to him. And then Peter goes, no, God, no. I love you. I don't want that to happen. Oh. Let me see. John, Stella, come here. Can you guys come here just for a minute? And I'm gonna get your daughter. Can you come up here? Are you okay with coming up? Yeah, come on. Yeah. Glory to God. How many know the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 5, I think. Wait. I didn't put it down. First Thessalonians. Anyway, it says that we are built, body, soul, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Is that okay? Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Now, just keep that in mind. You guys all right? We're standing here for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah? Sure. You want me to get you a chair, bro?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I like thinking, come on, knock it off. He's about a cup of coffee. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this. Jesus got through telling those guys, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to whip me. They're going to beat me. And they put me on a cross. And 3 days I'll be there. And Peter gets upset. He goes, no, that's not going to happen to you. But Jesus tells him, look, get thee behind me, Satan. The word Satan means, can you put up that meaning, brother? Did I give that to you, Terry? The word, the Hebrew word means adversary, opposition, or resistance. See, all that, Jesus wasn't calling Peter himself the devil. What he's showing him is to recognize. Can you imagine Peter? He just called me the devil. Yeah. Can you imagine that? Hey, Thomas, yeah. Did he call me the devil? Did he call me Satan? Hey, yeah, going around asking all his buddies, what did he call me that? Yeah, they say, yeah, that's the way you are, bro. Yeah, you need to be called that. Yeah.
I always wanted to tell
you
that.
Yeah, I always wanted. Yeah. But you see, he wasn't calling Peter, he was calling out that adversary that was there, the opposition or the resistant. Because Jesus said in another place, I have come. This is John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said this, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do my Father's will. And Jesus was focused on what God had for him. I'm going to do my Father's will no matter what. And when Peter said these words, Jesus immediately says, get behind me. Because that kind of thinking does not work in the kingdom. Do you have me say amen to that? Whatever God's will is for your life, go with it. Is that okay? I don't think God's going to put you on a cross. He's already done that. Is that okay?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Some of you don't maybe not understand what I'm telling you, but I'll say we're gonna go with it. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become brand new. Is that right? Is that true?
Yep.
Okay. Old things, your old person, your old man, it all gets thrown away, and you become brand spanking new. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Not running on who you are, but running on who it is that's within you. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right, we got that. Okay, we're clear with that. Is everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Do I need to take another hour for that? Because I don't have a lot of time. But Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this, know this, right? This is the Bible talking. Know this, that that our old man is crucified with him, right? Dead. That the body of sin might be destroyed, right? Dead. That henceforth we should not serve sin. From now on, we don't serve sin. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Don't serve sin. I'm just going to say that real quick, but in case the Lord said, don't serve sin. Quit serving sin, bro. No more sin. Let me say amen. No more sin. Amen. All right, because sin is very destructive to us.
Yeah.
It really is. It hinders us. It keeps us back. So quit doing it. God's already paid for it. Quit messing around with it. Okay, but I want to talk about spirit, soul, and body. Here you have spirit, soul, and body. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Can you put up Hebrews chapter 4, verse 23? Yeah, 11 and 12. That's right. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. God has given us a rest. Is that right? Because he's washed our sins away, so he tells you, get into my rest. Get in here. Open the door and get in. Is that right? He's opened the door for you to get into the throne room of God. He wants you there. He says, get in here. He says, therefore, enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. And, you know, take that off just for a minute because I want to just make a few points here. Here's the spirit, here's the soul, and here's the body. The body actually operates in five areas, right? We all know this. Seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, and hearing. Five areas, that's how we input into our minds everything around us. Can you say amen to that? That's how we grow. That's how we get the knowledge. That's how knowledge comes to us. You know, that tree is green. Great. That tree over there, it's brown. That one's probably dying. All, whatever we see, whatever we hear, is that okay?
Yep.
So that's, we all agree with the functions of the body. There's no sixth sense. I said that this morning, right? There is no sixth sense. Yeah, there's none of that with God.
Nope.
Don't be foolish with sixth sense stuff, okay? because that's not true. Now here we have the soul, you can say. She's the soul. The soul is basically made up with mind, will, and emotions. That's basically, there's other little things in there, but basically it's the mind, the will, and your emotions separate from the spirit, okay? When the spirit, this is the part you're going to like. When before you were born again, see, the spirit was hard to separate from the soul. Before you, because you didn't know any better. Can you say amen to that? So put your arms around her and hold her. Yeah, and hold her. Yeah, so you're going to, that's what I said. So here we have a picture of the unregenerated man. Sorry about that. No, and this is how the soul didn't really think about anything, you know, whatever, didn't think about the spirit. The spirit sometimes would have a conversation with the soul, but a lot of time, most of the time, it was almost unheeded. In the soul, I mean, the spirit has functions, and the spirit, here's the functions of the spirit. It says communion, that's a function of your spirit to communicate with God and others. Conscience, how many of you have a conscience? Everybody have a conscience? Yeah?
Yep.
And intuition, that's just a knowing, you just know. These are the things, these are functions of the spirit. The conscience once in a while will say, well, we probably shouldn't do that. But because of the body liking what it sees and the soul saying and the mind saying, yeah, I like that. And so it would go for it. Is that right? It's going to go for it. But now all of a sudden we got born again. Right? So then the spirit, no, you hold on to her. Keep holding. here's the thing. The spirit gets pink. The light comes on like your Ford commercial.
Yep.
Boom, the light comes on, and now he's hearing from the Holy Spirit. This whole man, this is a whole person here, this is a whole person, they're hearing from the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is speaking to the spirit because the mind and the will and the emotions probably just, whatever, but the spirit is hearing. The spirit is hearing the things of God, so the spirit begins to speak the things of God. Just tell her scripture, I don't care which one it is. Say it out loud. Yeah, God. He asked her for a date. Yeah, I know. No, you know, for God so loved the world that the Spirit of God is speaking to him. You have a Redeemer, and he's speaking to the soul. And the soul is taking these things in. But the Word of God says in Hebrews, it says, right? Look, I'm gonna go, can you back up just a little bit, the one before? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Is that right? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what the Word of God begins to do, see, it doesn't happen automatically right away, because the man or woman of God is still learning about these things. But now what's beginning to happen is the more he listens to the Holy Spirit actually begins to sever this, to cut it, to make a whole separate entity, because the man of God is to be led by the Spirit through his Spirit, and then he speaks to the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then when all that's working, can you say amen? We got to have this working. When it's working, now all of a sudden the soul, because it's hearing from the Word of God says by his stripes we're healed. The soul, being transformed by her mind, now begins to speak to the body. Yes. By his stripes, we're healed. Yes. You see that? Yes. And it takes the Word of God working in the life of a believer. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not something that you just, I'm saved now and I'm good. No, you need to learn. Because Jesus said it this way. I need to just read it to you, because try to get you back, Terry, would probably be. He says this: if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Yes. Deny yourself. See, and that's a tough word. Can you say amen to that?
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough word, because it's hard to deny those things. Yep. I said it last week that your emotions are the biggest baby part of you. They want to be heard. Your emotions want to go after you. I didn't like the way Pastor looked at me today. Hey, do you realize he's got one eye? No. Hey, they weren't very nice to me. Hey, and all these fightings and things like that. And see, it's the Word of God that comes into the spirit that begins to transfer the mind, transfer those things, and the emotions begin to get undertook. And now we're working on a whole man.
Yes.
And now, when the toe hurts, boom, yep. Boom, the whole Word of God is working in. This is the body. This is one person. Can you look at this? It's one person. And this is how the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, begins to transform that man or woman of God. And he says, deny yourself. And he says, yeah. This guy says, yeah. The mind says, yeah. The will says, yeah, we need to deny ourselves. We need the will of God in our life. And the body says, I'm with you, right?
I like it.
I like it. Folks, this is so imperative to us that we understand that old man literally has to be cut off. Literally chopped off so that you can be new, brand new. Living for the will of God. Okay, you guys. Thank you guys for giving them a hand for yeah. They're tired. Okay. Darkness. Let me just read this to you. Darkness is not the opposite of light, but the absence of light. You see that? Darkness is not the opposite of light. It's the absence of light. And darkness is the absence of light, not the presence of something else. Can you say amen to that? Folks, we need to quit thinking and quit blaming the devil for things that we're doing on our own. We really do. You're placing blame on the devil. You're placing, well, the devil made me do it. All those kind of things. Or, you know what? Hey, well, I just the way I am. I get angry. I get messed up. I whatever. You need to quit passing that off. Take that responsibility upon yourself. No, that's me. And then deny yourself. Deny yourself. and watch what God will do. Because he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You will find what you're looking for because you are a man, a woman of God. Is that right? Is that okay? How many of you want that in your life? Would you stand? I just want one more scripture to read to you. This is the power verse for us today. It is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. And I pray this scripture for all of you. Let this mind be in you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That was also in Christ.
Yes.
That's all I'm praying for every one of you. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. See, you've been given the mind of Christ. Let it be in you. Allow it to work. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We push off things, man, that God is trying to do for us because by our own mind, we mess it all up. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. How many want the mind of Christ? How many desire it with all your heart? How many of you just say, man, God, I'm so hungry. I'm just so hungry to know and hear you every day, every night. Wake me up in the middle of the night. And, oh, give me dreams. Give me visions. But show me what you have for me, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You purchased me. You bought me. So, Lord, I lay down my life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I lay down my life
Yes. In
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your children, Lord. Father, those that know you, those that have walked with you, Father God, those that are just starting to walk with you, Father, I pray that your spirit would quicken their mortal body, Father God, to the point that there is nothing more but you living in them, Father. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming to church this morning. Take these words and look at them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, man.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.